This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, little Matthew Mulphy. Isn't that happy?
Very nice.
That's nice. Yeah, but you play the guitar, so you can...
I enjoyed the acoustic, especially after all the news, the heaviness.
I know.
Thank you, Matthew.
About that.
I thought you said little Matthew Mull.
I said a little Matthew Mull. Leanne, stop trying to make me...
The beef Gareth and Matthew, I added.
Yeah, say mean things about somebody. All right, so we got some news stories. Now, listen, it's really a toss-up between who's creepier... Prince Andrew and Tom Cruise, and for different reasons. Prince Andrew obviously used to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein, who's that convicted and now dead pedophile. He used to have an island where they would take young girls, and Prince Andrew would fly in and out as well. He was a good friend of Epstein's, and you know, now he's going to deny it, obviously. But Tom Cruise is creepy for a different reason, because Tom Cruise is this wacky Scientologist, and he's behaved very strangely in the last couple of years. It seems to me he starts to believe he is the characters in his movies.
Right.
And he's just a weird dude. But I don't think he's dangerous like, you know, Epstein was. So who's worse?
Oh, you absolutely have to. The one who touches kids, which one is that?
Well, by the sound of things, might be Prince Andrew, friend of Epstein's. All right, what have we got?
Well, firstly, Tom Cruise has... It's just a fly.
Are you sure you're not trying to cover for your friend Prince Andrew?
Tom Cruise has moved his entire family into his luxury Scientology apartment block. It's basically next door to the Scientology headquarters.
Luxury Scientology block.
Yeah. And to me, it doesn't look very luxurious. It looks like a block of Scientology.
Right. I see.
Just a very plain old apartment building.
It's not great. Yeah.
However, it's now taken up almost entirely by his sisters, himself. So there's actually a little diagram indicating who's living on which floor.
Oh, by family you mean not just immediate family.
Like his sisters and brothers as well.
Yes.
Well, he's got three sisters and a brother, so there are quite a few of them. So Tom Cruise is at the top in the penthouse, the two-story penthouse.
Because he's the main macher.
8th and 9th floor.
Right.
The 7th floor is up next. That's his sister, Cass Capazorio.
Yes, her, of course, yeah.
And also Mission Impossible director, Christopher McQuarrie.
Got him.
On the 6th floor is billionaire church donor, Bob Duggan.
Yeah.
5th floor, Cruise's sister, Leanne. Yes. And also Argentinian Scientology musician, Diego Verdaguer.
So they're all Scientologists.
Yeah. On the 4th floor, Cruise's sister, Marion Henry, Scientology detox guru, Alex Arezzini.
Mm-hmm.
Also the Zwan family, who donated over $5 million to the church.
Right.
3rd floor, Cruise's spare condo, which apparently might be earmarked for his two kids.
His poor children.
Midwest's largest donor, Leslie Brock. Scientology author, Sean Clowden. Church property magnat, Clemen Agami. Then on the 2nd floor, Cruise's guest condo, including Top Gun flight simulator.
Hey.
3 apartments kept for Skyview owner. So this whole block.
So it's just a dad who wants to be with his family, it sounds like. What's the story?
Yeah, a creepy dad and an unfortunate family. I feel sorry for these children. Nicole Kidman is the mom, right? So she has rights.
She keeps her distance from this.
But why is he doing this? So why is he putting everyone in one big compound together?
Well, apparently this is what they're saying. You know, it's always a friend of the person. Is saying he's scared of these people leaving Scientology. So he wants them to all be together so that it's reiterated, their mantra is reiterated daily. They're with all the right people and they're right next to the headquarters.
Why can't people just let other people believe whatever they want to believe? Why must they keep them in their cult?
Because that's too crazy. We can't not have control.
Would we be saying the same thing if these people were, I don't know, Methodist or Catholic?
I would.
Question.
What do you think?
That's a good question. I don't even think it would be, Gareth Cliff the Christian. It would just be Gareth has money and has now afforded himself to be close to his family. I think it's the Scientologist. aspect of it. You know what I'm saying? is what makes it creepy.
Yeah, and because we've, you know, thanks to some stars, what is her name, who came out all about
Leah Rimini.
Thank you.
Yes.
Who came out about Scientology and what they're really like and how it's all about money and control. In this case, cruise control. I mean, Tom Cruise's own daughter, Isabella, or known as Bella, she was branded Scientology's poster girl after she proclaimed in an advert for the London branch that it had saved her life.
Oh, the
She's 26 years old, so she's certainly not a child anymore.
Yeah. She's 26?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise's daughter's 26?
Yeah. It's time, this thing. It moves on.
Yeah.
I like how they call him, because it's almost like we've decided now what this thing is. So even like the property developer is called the church property magnate.
Yeah,
it's like, you know what I mean? It's like that kind of language is like, yeah.
The church property magnate is making, yeah, he's made this decision. Oh man.
So apparently, Creepy. So his son is 24 years old. He lives only a few hundred yards away at the Sand Castle, which is official Scientology accommodation. Mm. And he's under the watchful eye of former member Katrina Reyes's mother. And then there's of course, Suri. Remember her?
Yes.
She's now 13. Cruz has reportedly not seen his daughter, Suri, since her parents split in 2012.
He hasn't even made an effort to see her. Or maybe she's being kept away from him.
Yeah.
And maybe Katie Holmes doesn't want him
anywhere
near her.
So he last saw her 7 years ago, and she's 13 now.
Jeez.
Shit.
He's an absent father, basically.
That's, yeah, because I'm trying to imagine years of not seeing. Oh, man, that's
well, if your dad
heavy.
Dad is crazy. Maybe it's to your advantage. I don't know. We're going to talk about this in a little while, by the way. We've got a very interesting guy popping by, Charlie Peterson, who's going to talk to us about the Growing Up Without a Father Foundation. We know how big this problem is in South Africa, and we'll speak to Charlie about it later on. I mean, we make fun of Tom Cruise, but there are people with real, you know, issues around male role models and father figures and all that kind of thing. And in South Africa, almost more than anywhere else, we've got to sort this out. So we'll talk to Charlie in a little while. What else is going on? Tell me about Prince Andrew, since we've covered Prince Tom Cruise. Really is. He's so, like the Prince of Scientology, isn't he?
Prince Andrew was roped into this whole Epstein thing because of a recent video which was released showing him at the paedophile's mansion in 2010.
You can't really deny that.
No.
You're in a video at the paedophile mansion.
Exactly.
And later on, the two of them were pictured in
where were you this weekend,
New York,
Andrew?
Central Park.
Oh, I was at the paedophile mansion. It was marvelous. We had a wonderful time.
So he's released an official statement saying he's appalled by these recent sex abuse claims surrounding his former friend, Jeffrey Epstein. So the Buckingham Palace statement says, "The Duke of York has been appalled by the recent reports of Jeffrey Epstein's alleged crimes. His Royal Highness deplores the exploitation of any human being and the suggestion he would condone, participate in, or encourage any such behavior is abhorrent."
All right.
You know, there's a woman who there's a woman who is alleging that when she was 17, which is under the age of consent in Florida, she had sex with Andrew three times, including one orgy. In London at Epstein's New York home.
If you can be royal, you may as well have an orgy, right?
Oh, my goodness.
And another time on the private island.
And another time? Or is that all?
No, there were three. Okay. So it was in London, Epstein's New York home, and at an orgy on his private island.
Sounds like a party at Andy's house.
It's not just a pedophile mansion.
No, this is quite extraordinary. So, okay, Andrew says, don't never. Oh, disgusting, appalling.
Yes, categorically untrue.
Okay.
No, any suggestion of impropriety with underage minors is untrue.
Outrageous.
Yes.
How do you, it's under investigation.
Yes.
How do you finish that sentence? No. Where are we going with
so
this?
Many
no,
questions.
Because it's almost like in my head, I think it went Hollywood because he's a royalty.
Yes.
So I'm almost thinking, is he just like anybody that can be investigated? Can you just knock on, you know, the castle door and
serve
be like,
him with court
you know
papers.
What I mean?
I think you can. like you can, you can't do that to the Queen, but you can do it to her children.
Was the Duke not liable? Wasn't with the car accident with the Rand?
No, Philip.
Wasn't he?
No, he got into trouble.
Yeah.
So what do we know about the? Look, what do we know about Epstein and Andrew? We know they were good mates.
Let's crack this case, guys. Come on.
We're going to do this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't know anything. All right, sorry, can't help you. What else is in the news?
Well, let's look at the other brother, Prince Charles, of course.
Oh, we know him.
He's it's been released recently in newly uncovered FBI files.
What?
That Prince Charles's mentor was a homosexual with lust for young boys.
But
why is that even?
Do you remember his mentor was Lord Mountbatten?
Yes. Did Mountbatten like? Oh,
yeah. It was in. It was in front of us the whole time.
Bit of rumpy pumpy.
But it wasn't only that. It was apparently in these files, him and his wife Edwina Mountbatten are being described as persons of extremely low morals.
Oh, really? That's a hell of a thing to be called.
Claim, that sounds like an unhappy neighbor.
Which claim that
that's what your neighbor says when they want you thrown out of a complex.
Yes.
That person has extremely low morals. Jesus. What a thing to say.
These intelligence files claim that both frequently had extramarital affairs.
So what's that these days? Yes. That's not a big deal.
And the reason why this is all coming to light is because, I mean, these documents are 75 years old.
Yeah.
They're being obtained through a Freedom of Information request made by British historian Andrew Larney for his new biography, The Mountbattens, Their Lives and Loves.
And their paedophile behavior by the sound of things. So this is Prince. Okay, so he was actually, Mountbatten was actually Prince Philip's relative. Yeah.
And Prince Charles's father figure where his other father wasn't really available.
Okay, so what did he do? He's supposed to have been, besides having low morals generally, he's supposed to have been a paedophile? Jesus.
Yes. Well, it doesn't, it just says he had a perversion for young boys.
What does that mean? I mean, that's what does that mean?
Let me ask you something.
Just remember.
How can there be so many paedophiles around? I always thought they were an exception. There weren't a lot of paedophiles. Clearly, there are lots.
No, they, and it's one of those things, where do you go? It's a concealed.
He had a fetish for uniforms. For both handsome young men in military uniforms with high boots, it stipulates, and beautiful boys in school uniform.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
Oopsie. Apparently,
it's very creepy.
His friends refer to him with the nickname of Mount Bottom.
Oh.
Every friend who's ever called him that needs to be called in for questioning.
Yes.
They know something.
Of course, if you... Mount Bottom.
That's
terrible. That is really bad.
And he himself said, Edwina and I spent all our married lives getting into other people's beds.
Well,
clearly. That's consensual then.
He actually doesn't give a shit about this.
Well, he's dead now because he was blown up by the IRA.
There you go.
So it was a very public terrorist attack that killed him. But man, what a story.
But this story should be really interesting to read.
Mountbatten.
This book.
Yes. It'll be published on the 22nd of August, which is in three or four days' time.
Yeah.
Mountbatten.
3 days. Gareth still on Mountbatten.
I'm sorry. I think that's a hell of a funny. That's your nickname.
You know, half of the stuff, I mean, besides the underaged issue here, half of the stuff is, it was appalling in those days, 75 years ago.
Sure.
But now it's, I don't know, it's not.
You don't think it's appalling now?
You don't think what's appalling? What's not appalling?
The fact that they had extramarital affairs, the fact that he had homosexual tendencies, that's all fine.
No, that's okay, but the paedophile stuff, we still have a major problem with, I think. I don't think that would be unfair of us.
Yeah, I think it's still... Yeah,
I think we're allowed to be, like, we're not sure we like that.
Yeah, of course.
Is that okay? So Mountbatten, huh?
That's it.
Who knew? What a
they did! I'll tell you that much.
What a nickname, Mount Bottom.
Oh gosh,
Leanne, you really are regaling us with interesting stories this morning.
Yes, I am.
Fascinating stuff. All right, well, can we look at, since we've looked at Prince Charles and Prince Andrew, maybe we should look at some actual stuff that's going on in the news, because these people are not the real people that we should be paying attention to. There are some other stories you may be interested in this morning. Apparently, there was a French waiter who was shot dead for being too slow to bring his sandwich to a man who'd ordered it.
So this occurred.
How?
I mean, talk. Jeez, like this was about 15 k's east of Paris's city centre, in Noisy-le-Grand.
Oh my God! Yeah, clearly Noisy-le-Grand. Noisy for gunshots.
At this really dodgy looking place called Mistral with cheese naan pizzas and sandwiches.
Is that what it's called?
Mistral. That's with the whole name.
No, man.
That's a hell of a name for a place.
It's Mistral, and then underneath are the three food descriptions. Yeah. But anyway, yes, a customer ordered a sandwich. The waiter was taking too long with the sandwich.
Yeah.
And he shot him in the shoulder.
Jesus.
The waiter's colleagues called the police, and attempts to revive him failed, and he died at the scene.
Dude.
28 years old.
A little bit of patience. It's not... Your sandwich is coming.
You know?
Because the only defense that guy has at this point is it was the shoulder. I shot him in the shoulder.
But what a thing to do. What a thing to do to someone just because you want your sandwich.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
So the gunman actually fled straight afterwards.
Hungry.
So he
didn't eat?
No.
No. He's still on the run. He still hasn't eaten since he ordered the sandwich.
He made such a fuss about eating.
Yeah. He's hiding hungry wherever he is.
Wow, all right. Okay.
So apparently a witness says he lost his temper, literally just pulled out a handgun and did the deed, ran away. Some people have noted that there are higher crime levels in this particular area, notably drug dealing and public drunkenness. Put
Always.
A bit of drugs and alcohol in there and you
Always
might...
the drugs.
Drugs, alcohol and sandwiches, guys.
It's a deadly combo.
It's not a good combo.
Drugs, fine. We can handle that.
Alcohol alone.
Alcohol, sure. Fine. Of course, these are both problems, alcohol and drugs, but combine them with sandwiches.
Shortage of sandwiches.
Recipe for disaster. So he must be crazy, right?
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Most likely.
You can't explain this any other way. It's going to be a crazy crackpot.
Also walking around with his handgun.
Yeah.
Hungry. Everyone keeps accusing him of everything except hungry. Let's also add that in the mix.
Do you have sympathy? Have you ever been so hungry that you'd shoot someone for a sandwich?
But what he's made me realize is that there is that now possibility.
Tats and Konza is with us, in case you're wondering who this man is. Such a crazy situation.
Never know what frame of mind people are in.
Yes.
Well, this
is why you don't start fights with them in the street or get road rage. They may have just lost their favorite granny. They may be transporting someone in the car with a broken leg.
Doesn't this make you think like waiters should maybe get danger pay?
I would be pushing for that if I was a waiter, I'll tell you.
After this story,
was a waiter.
Oh, yes. Yeah?
And
how did you do? You didn't get shot or anything.
No.
How close did you get to?
I ended up abusing the customers.
There we go.
Oh, sure. Nice.
I threw money at one.
Oh, yeah.
You threw money?
Yes. He waited for his... He paid the bill.
Yeah.
And there was 5 cents due back to him, which I didn't think he'd want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not 5 cents, 50 cents, apologies.
What was the number, Leanne?
50 cents. Which I didn't think he'd want back, right? Would you wait for your 50 cents back?
You're damn right I would.
Well, I don't know. I brought it back to him eventually when he asked for it. And then he left it for me and said, here's your 50 cent tip. So as he walked out, I threw it against his head and said, keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yay! What movie was that again?
You said you filthy animal.
Yes.
Keep the change, you filthy animal. Home Alone!
Yes.
That's great.
And yeah, I was asked once, excuse me, when will my whatever dish be ready, my calamari? And I said, well, when it's cooked.
Apparently that's not how you treat a customer.
I mean, I could have been shot.
Were you a good waitress?
Terrible.
Yeah, it sounds like
bad
it.
Tips.
Yeah, you sound like you're the kind of waitress you don't want to meet, but you also aren't worth shooting. I mean,
yes.
For all your sins, Leanne, you're not someone I'd want to shoot dead in a restaurant.
My gosh, crazy people out there. Huh?
Hectic, very hectic. All right, well, if you think that's bad, and it is, you wouldn't be wrong. Apparently, there are ways to have the opposite effect on someone. not have them want to shoot you. Have them want to be your friend. Mm. What are the best ways you can get someone to become your friend from being a complete stranger? Mm. Well, here's some useful tips for Tats and Konzo, for you, for me, and the entire human race.
Well, usually you'll meet up with people at functions or work or friends' homes or braais, whatever. And how boring is it that we always
or
say...
Or Prince Andrew at the school.
Yeah, you never know.
Crash.
Whatever. And how boring is it when we say, so what do you do? Where do you live?
Yeah, those are
boring.
Or
how do you know the name of the host?
Yes. Sure.
And you're going to get really short, uninteresting answers.
Mostly, yes.
So this list from Harvard,
Harvard
claims to give you 8 questions that you can ask, which will give you a much better chance of really learning to know what someone's like, and you might even become besties. So the one question is, what excites you right now?
Oh, come on.
All right.
Well, okay. I apologize. Right, Harvard, my bad.
No, let's try. I know. I hate things that come out of Harvard because you know what kind of people have been sitting.
What excites you right now?
Yeah. All right. So if someone asked you that, what would you say? What's your answer right now?
It would probably be like planning my next holiday, something like that.
Cool.
Which is much better than, because then you can say, oh, where are you going on holiday? Have you been there before? So it'll give you a lot more to work with.
Yeah, I would say if you asked me that now, I'd say, I'm going to be in Durban this weekend. Mm. That's the truth. I'm excited about
it. But how would you say it? Like, that's the sentence. We don't know each other. You see me. How do you deliver that line?
What are you excited about today? This is a very American thing. Like, hey, what excites you today?
Okay,
like,
so it's not
my back. My back is to
no,
you.
No, it's not going to be the opening question.
Okay, I see. Okay, I'm being too literal.
It's a shitty opening question. But let's give it the legs that it needs. Maybe
so. It might be a little bit down the line.
Cool.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Try some others.
What's the best thing that's happened to you this year?
But again, these almost feel like job interview questions, don't they? It feels like someone's trying to figure something out about you.
This is not a party. This is not a Lucy.
Yeah,
again, it's not, Harvard, right?
Yes.
All right, but let's give it a go.
Yeah,
so, okay.
All right. You ask the question.
Best thing that's happened to you this year.
What would you say?
I met a girl.
Oh, nice.
I haven't met a girl in many years.
Okay.
So that's...
How did it happen?
We dance. I do kizomba salsa classes.
Oh, so that's how you fit.
She pops in every now and then, and then I met her at a movie premiere.
Were you instantly attracted to her, or did you just kind of keep it cool?
This is gonna sound so corny.
Go on.
When I saw her at the movie theater after not having seen her for many years, it felt like I was looking at air, like I breathed. And I said to myself, I think we have to do this. Wow. I literally hugged her twice.
You made a move on her?
I did. I hugged her to say hello. But then, you know, when you linger and you're like, I'm going to hug you again. And she was like, okay.
Oh,
and I hugged her again and it felt, I was like,
how long ago did this whole hug happen?
It was the launch of Kagiso Lediga's Matwetwe, so probably December.
Last year.
Jan,
I like how you put your milestones on comedians.
Yeah, when they launch things.
Yeah, it's weird. I was just there for a launch.
I think
and
he's
then...
hinting, so let me give a quick plug. So, Tats and Konzo is doing a great show, Keeping Up with the Xhosas, and you can go and watch this. It is happening at Vodaworld on Saturday the 31st of August. There are only a few tickets available. Get them ASAP. They're 165 rand a person from CompuTicket, and he might even invite this girl to go and sit in the front row to watch him do his thing. That's when you're at your main, your power is strong.
When she's right there.
Yeah, no, but he wanted to see you in your moment.
Leanne, what about you? Most exciting.
Yeah,
you
go
see,
on.
You see, that
I
was
like
interesting.
How you changed the, that was interesting. See, that got us talking. Now I feel I know you better. Leanne, what's
best
yours?
Best thing that happened to me this year.
Yes, come on.
It's so serious.
Come on.
But it's, I'm just having my mom survive through her stroke.
Awesome.
And having her to have glasses of wine with and chat and laugh.
God, that was boring.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheapest.
So the next question they say you should ask is...
Sorry.
I'm curious, really, where did you grow up?
No, man.
to me it sounds like, you judging my behavior? Now
I'm curious.
I don't know if I like people who ask, where did you grow up? Because a lot of that is kind of, what school did you go to?
Right, that's next.
Yeah.
How much money do your parents have? Right. Those kinds of things.
They've said if you don't like that, you can modify it to, I'm curious, when do you think you grew up?
When?
I like that question.
And to me, that's like a bit insulting.
When? The problem with that, with both of those, I don't like both of them.
It's like you don't know when you grew up?
Yes. The biggest problem is the first two words.
I'm curious. Okay, they said you could use the prefix I'm curious if you wanted to.
Oh, God. No, but that feels like it. Now it's artificial.
So yes.
Someone sits in a room and they're trying to figure out your psychological profile. I hate this.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about something else. We'll get to more of these questions later if we've got some time, but I do want to share some time with our guest, Charlie Peterson. It's very nice to see you, Charlie. How are you?
I'm curious, Charlie, what are you excited about?
Yeah. Well, Charlie's excited about it. I'm going to answer for you because this is something you're very much involved in. The Growing Up Without a Father Foundation. It's a non-profit South African business, so it's an organization designed to eliminate fatherlessness and to encourage the empowerment of the boy child. We've got a big problem in South Africa. I think everybody's aware of this. Very few men grew up in the last 20, 30 years without a father, without a father figure, without a male role model. And this is probably at the root of so much of what is wrong with South Africa, right?
Yes.
So first of all, tell us your story and how you got into this, and then we can get into what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Garrett.
Sure, man.
Charlie grew up in a small town in Smithfield. You know, it's in the Free State. I grew up without a father, and I went to look after my father at the age of 21.
Yeah.
So he left me, actually, when I was a baby. So what happened to me is that one need closure. People really think that you can just make a baby, leave it there, you know, for the mother to raise it. But that baby is growing up, you know, he's meeting the challenges of life where a lot of bullying, a lot of teasing and everything is taking place. So that's where most of the social ills are actually happening. That's actually where most of the problems are happening with our children. That's why I wrote the book Growing Up Without a Father. And after that, the new one is the one that's sitting there in front of you, Boy Child You Matter, Garrett. Because if one look at the story, what's happening, especially in South Africa, a lot of emphasis and attention is given to the girl child.
Yeah.
And they are leaving the boy child behind. And what's happening, this boy child is the one now, you know, getting this inferior complex, and started to do the opposite that what he's supposed to do. So the book is about Boy Child You Matter. We need mentors, we need leaders and everything, because every boy needs a mentor, especially when you grew up without a father. And you'll be shocked who was my mentor, the former owner and late Mr. Pietrus Mulimela of Bloemfontein Celtics. You know, I picked him up. Yes.
How did you guys meet?
At a bank. I used to be a bank teller, and he used to came to the bank. And I also wrote his book, Garrett, I Have Seen It All.
Uh-huh.
So he will always come to the bank and bank money. You know, the old man was a very structured guy.
Nice.
He will bring all this money to the bank on Mondays after a soccer game. And this money will be so dear, Bacarde. It will take me actually the whole day to count a derby. Maybe Celtics was playing against Chiefs. So it will take me the whole day as a teller to count this money. And I said to him, Mulimela, man, why don't you pack this money and do it nicely from your place? He said, no. If you want to do that, come and join Celtics.
Hey.
And I was a chief supporter by then. So I joined Celtic just to count the money for him.
He gave you a job.
He gave me a job. Actually, amazing. No, but I did it as a volunteer. And since that day, we clicked like this, you know. He shared all his life stories. And I was the only guy, you know, Mulimela had a very short temper. I was the only guy that can control him because I knew the man.
You knew his money?
No. His mind, because he became my father. I was actually bringing more money to Celtics than anyone else.
That's amazing.
Yes. Because I later became the CEO of Bloemfontein Celtics.
Come on.
Yeah, bro.
So, Charlie.
Yes, yes.
This guy, what did he do for you that you didn't have before? Because a lot of people grow up with either just a mom, or they grew up with their grandparents, but no dad.
Mm.
So what was missing in your life that he helped you find?
Gerard, what is key for a boy? You know, at a certain stage, a mother is important in the life of a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think up to the age of 9. And after that age is now where the father needs to steps in. He was the guy that will just sit with me and tell me stories, you know.
Mm.
This is what boys need. And boys are looking for heroes. And the heroes that the boys are looking for needs to come from a father. That's why we're sitting with challenges of gangsterism, all the social ills, because boys will meet a gangster leader that will tell me, hey, you're part of us, we love you, part you the man and everything. That's what boys want to hear.
Gives you a sense of belonging.
Yeah, sense of belonging, Garrett. So I was so comfortable with the old man that he started to share his life with me and even said, you know, you must ask Robert Marawa, and I hope he's getting well in the hospital.
Shame, yes, Robert Marawa, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know, had a heart attack over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of our thoughts and sympathies and prayers are with him, obviously. He was here just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We had Robert Marawa.
Yes,
the other two
gentlemen.
With Fresh and Spoo and Touch. Yeah,
it
we had a really good time. But I'm sorry for Robert. So, yes, you're saying Robert
Marawa. Yeah, and Robert knows the story. And, you know, at his funeral, Mulimela told me, Charlie, the book that you wrote, you must use it as an obituary bit. This is my life. You know me even more than my own kids. So, sense of belonging, you know, somebody telling you you're doing fine, you're doing great, it's going to be okay.
Mm.
And that nonsense where people said boys must not cry, tigers don't cry. We addressed that boys must cry, man. It's important for boys to cry because we suppress all these things, Garrett. And later you'll see now this boy that suppressed all these emotions is getting married. And you don't know how to handle the situation. That's where the beating and the woman abuse and everything is coming in, because this guy never knew how to express his feelings.
So, Charlie, a lot of women are doing their best, right?
Yeah.
But even with the most solid and kind and caring intention in the world, a mom can't fulfill all the roles that a child needs.
No, no.
And in this country, the role models that some guys have, as you said, can be very bad people, gangsters, and criminals, and people who look strong, but they probably also come from a broken household.
Yes.
So what is it about the male role model that is important for a young man? I mean, what does he need to, besides the belonging you've already addressed, what does he need from his father?
You know, in my book, I'm addressing, there's a guy who used to be a gangster, Skim, GP. I don't know, do you know Skim?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, Skim is one of the notorious guys in Gauteng.
Yes.
He's talking about crime doesn't pay.
Yeah,
and you know, if you look at prison, okay, let me go back.
He doesn't have millions in the bank.
Yes,
and then he says crime.
No, he's working very hard to motivate boys. What boys are looking for is that guidance, hope. You know, somebody telling them, you know, because I'm also addressing inside the book, Garrett, about when you grow up as a boy, there's certain stages that your body is developing.
Sure,
especially, you know. It's in my book. Your penis is growing, and you know,
there's a lot of wanking.
Yeah. Sure. Now suddenly you don't know what to do with this thing. Now my book is addressing that. He said, no, it's normal. It's not necessary then when it.
Let's go through them, Leanne, in case you don't know, because you don't have a penis. So, enlargement of testicles and scrotum.
Yes.
Okay. Pubic hair.
Yes.
Changing body shape.
Yes.
Penis growth, very important.
Yes.
What are the bumps on my penis?
Yes.
Sometimes you need to go for a doctor.
Yeah. But if you're naughty, but sometimes the things are just coming out.
Okay. All right. And then.
What is this milk?
And fertility.
Yes. Wet dreams.
Yes.
Fertility, very important too, because you have questions around that. And voice change.
But now with voice change in our communities, that time when your voice is starting to change, and they will tell you that you are a morphe. That's where the hurt and everything are coming out. People don't realize that it's part of your body. This is how your body develops.
Mm.
And you need a father that will tell you, hey, boy, this is how you need to shave. And this is what you need to do. Because when the trolley comes out, the father will must tell you that, hey, he does not need a hole. Yes, we need to talk about these things, because that's where a lot of kids are coming from, one night stands and everything. Mm. Because
how to control your penis.
Yes.
Very important. Tats, you didn't think you would.
Have you got yours under control?
This morning, I've learned so much today.
Are you having a happy time, my friend?
I am
so glad you came.
I'm literally I was here to speak, but I've been watching every guest. I just end
Charlie's
up
gonna check
watching.
Your penis for life.
Wait.
I need a mentor, Charlie. Touch my penis.
I mean, we're not touching it. We're telling you how to use it.
All right.
Come on.
Oh, my bad. I misunderstood everything.
And Gerald, the 16th of November, I'm trying to put a mentor.
Where the hell's Gerald?
Sorry, Gerald, man. Sorry, Gerald. Mr. Cliff.
Gerald Cliffus.
Gerald, sorry, man. You know, this man is a great guy. He took two boys from my hometown, Bloemfontein.
Yes.
Vincent and Vikas.
Oh, yes. I remember
he took them.
Them,
yeah. And I'm really disappointed in what they became after that, because this man took them from zero to up
so
there.
So we ended up taking them. They were singers.
Yeah.
And
yes.
The two of them were great singers. We took them to New York.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Sang at the Kennedy Center in front of the in front of the South African ambassador and a number
all
of
those things.
Really incredible guests. So very talented brothers, these two boys.
Duet.
Yeah, and we
can even
when I
alone.
Say we, I mean Rena and I, my current business partner and I, and we kind of, they wanted to do their own thing, so we had to let them go, and we stopped managing them. But don't worry, I mean, like, as long as some good comes of it,
but
I'm happy.
No, you are a hero in Edadal, you are a peak hero, Mr.
Thank
Cliff.
You. Well,
oh, Gerald, that's awesome.
Gerald.
Come on.
That's so
good. Gerald's good.
And this is part of the program of the boy child. I just...
No, Charlie, to be serious for a second, because this is massively important.
Yeah.
Young men need these things more now in South Africa than ever.
Yes, yes.
And there just are not enough...
role models.
Yeah, but there also aren't enough strong men. And this is why women... Mm. have to put up with weak men.
Yes.
And more of these guys are growing up with bad ideas because they're looking at the example that is not the good example and because women don't know how to answer these questions for the young sons.
Yes.
So how do we begin to deal with this? Have you got a program that people can go on?
I've started
countrywide.
We're trying, but now you know,
you need money
for
this.
I need a lot of money, and you know our South Africans, they don't believe you as a South African when you start something until you link it with an American.
Oh boy!
And an American tell you that this is a good program. You need to support this program. Mm. So we don't want to support one another. So we've put a 2-day program together, namely the Boy Child You Matter, where we take the boy child through. Mm. 2 days of life skills, experience, and everything. We know 2 days is not enough, but at least if you plant the seed into a mind, because I can relate back to when I was a small boy, when somebody said something good about me, I still remember that thing up to now.
Yeah.
And what's happening now in the country, we tell our boys that you guys are useless.
Yeah.
You are this and this. And the power of the tongue, they will remain like that.
That does not help them.
It's like our national team. Let's go back there. All South Africans will tell, Bafana Bafana is going to lose again tonight. And they will lose again. We're not rallying behind our things and our programs. So I need a lot of money. That's why I've put a men's conference together in November, the 16th of November, where we want to deal with this men that we think that they are useless, because... lately in our country now, men are also feeling down and bad.
Sure.
So we need to lift them up. So we're going to have a day of fun on the 16th of November, where we chat about a lot of things that that men are battling with, like prostate cancer, depression, rape, all those things that people don't think that men are going through. So we trying to put that, but I need a lot of money. I need a main sponsor that will come and said, let's do it together, because we need to create this thing national wide.
Right, well, how can people get hold of you?
I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on LinkedIn, and they can just Google me. You know, I'm straightforward, Charlie Peterson with the EY.
CHARLEY.
Yes.
And Peterson.
The Afrikaans one.
Right.
Yes.
Peterson.
Yeah, right, Peterson. So,
obviously, this is also what leads to unemployment.
Yes.
And we know that a lot of young men grow up without any idea of how to make themselves useful or productive.
Yes.
They feel like they're useless because they keep being told, as you said, that they're useless. And then they can't participate in the economy. They can't support their families. They feel huge pressure. They get depressed.
Yes.
Why is it, do you think, that young men in South Africa with depression are not taken as seriously as either girls or older people?
Get it? It's about...
girls or older people?
People think...
Yeah, I mean, older, no, girls, I think a lot of girls talk to each other. Yeah. Maybe they have someone in the family who can understand. If a boy talks like this, especially in more traditional communities, then they think there's something wrong with them. Yep. Like mental illness is
told
regarded.
To like be a man, suck it up.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly
be what. The,
yes, be yes, strong. Yes, yes, you know? Yes. That's why what we're trying to do is that men needs to talk to another. What I've also picked up is that if I talk about a boy, I'm also talking about an 80-year-old man who never grew up. He's still a boy in his mind. Mm. So if I say boy, I mean that all men. So most of us are so hurt, and most of us don't know how to do and to deal with this hurt inside of us. So what is key? We're trying this with things like this conferences and this workshops for men to start talking and to share with one another, you know, to link them off with role models. And also, if you picked up, we need role models that will come and said, like Garrett will come and said, I'm going to take 10 boys. I'm going to mentor them in this line of work. I'm going to take 5. I'm going to help them with this and this. Because the seed that we plant, we'll actually build a better South Africa if we equip the men. And even with programs, if you go to government, if you go to sponsors, they will rather sponsor something that has to do with gender-based violence, violence against women and girls. Nothing to do with boys.
Yeah.
And that's where the root cause is actually starting.
Can I ask a question? Just in terms of role modeling, like, what does that even mean for someone who's listening or doesn't know?
Like, where do you find that?
What does a role model do? Because is it taking? Not everyone can take kids to the Kennedy Center to sing.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm just like sitting here going, some men are just going, I don't have anything to offer.
No.
What would you say to a guy who's thinking that, like that?
You know, I grew up in a very small town where everyone was your father. You know, if you do something wrong, Uncle Tom will call you and say, no, this is wrong. Ubuntu is gone in our country. We don't have that caring spirit anymore where I see someone's child doing something wrong, I can just step in as a brother or as a father. And even we are so aggressive recently. Even the kids are so aggressive. If you try and tell them what is right, they will tell you, what have you achieved? So to me, a role model is someone that you can look up. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be a big politician or what. You need to be somebody that can, when I come to you, I need to be comfortable telling you that, you know, I'm battling with this. I have a problem with this. This is the type of men that we are looking for. And we don't look for men that will come and hurt these kids again, because you find that once I was listening to your conversation about this naughty other ones. We don't want those. That's why we're very small. And if we grow, we're going to have something like in my book, I'm also touching what is a mentor. You know, what is a coach? I'm also touching things like that. So I've tried and put some things together that actually if a boy, a mother, or anyone can pick up this book, you will know what's going on in the head of a boy.
It's really hard. We've got an insurmountable problem in some ways.
Yeah.
What do you think the first step is for somebody? Let's say you are a mom and you care, or you're a sister, or you're a daughter, or someone, and you can see that your dad is struggling. Your dad, your brother, your son, and you want to do something, but you're not sure how to approach it, because there's also pride.
Big time.
Men have pride, and that can be a big obstacle and a stumbling block for them, right?
Yeah.
What would you suggest people do?
I think what is key is that we need to look at the situation. You know, maybe you find that the father is a drug addict.
Yeah.
And he's beating up the family and everything. So that is not a good father at that stage.
No, of course.
But not saying that he is actually a bad person.
Yeah, sure.
So we need to look at ways, what institutions are there, you know, there's, and in the past, the church was the place where people can go, and you don't find it anymore. So you need to look at institutions and people that you can talk to. I think the schools must also open up. They must have opportunities for the kids to come, because I do a lot of work at school, where I'm starting to talk. You'll find out the kids will be more open to me than to the teachers. Like, I'm going to Cape Town in November, where at a school in Mitchell's Plain, the school is having 1,305 learners. Out of that 1,305 learners, out of that learners, 295 are fatherless. So what we're going to do and trying to do is to put a program together where I'm going to mobilize 300 fathers in Cape Town. so that we can go on a Saturday to have some breakfast with these kids, buy a gift for this little one, because I'm working with the headmaster, buy a gift so they will tell us it's a boy or it's a girl, so that we can put a gift pack inside and just spend an hour with this child and chat. But we also need to put systems in place of sustainability, because sometimes you can hype up somebody's expectations and just leave that
what
people
happens
there.
After that,
So we want South Africa to rally behind the Growing Up Without a Father Foundation, and please help us so that we can make a difference. Because I believe a small difference, if you can change the lives of 300 kids in Mitchell's Plain, that can be duplicated to Langa, Guguletu, Soweto, everywhere. Let us stand up. A lot of our people, you know, that are coming from the townships and those areas has made it in life. Please plow back into the communities where you come from, because by giving and by giving, you know, you will get more.
Yeah.
And even if it's dissatisfaction, and it's not monetary value, but giving is one of the most important things in life that will really make you somebody else.
Well, it's very special what you're doing. And Charlie,
thank
congratulations.
You. Thank you.
I'm delighted to see this now. The Men's Day program is on the 16th of November of this year. So put it in your diary now, because it feels like it's long.
Yeah,
it's a long way away, but you know what happens. Yeah. November's just around the corner. And it's at 9 o'clock. On the day, you will get through courses and awareness and challenges, all kinds of things.
Yeah,
unemployment, making sense of money, gender-based violence, prostate cancer, are men trash?
Yes.
Violence against women and children? Is masculinity toxic? These are good questions to ask, and questions that I think a lot of guys have in their minds. So if you want to get involved with what Charlie's doing, and remember, this foundation has reconciled 7 kids with their fathers, which is no small task. Motivated some 5,000 children, inspired 700 prison inmates, spoke to 1,500 congregants at 10 churches, spoke to 1,400 men in 5 provinces, and inspired 8,000 families and kids. Get hold of Charlie
on
Facebook and see if you can get involved and help him out in some
way. Awesome. And a last request, can you please, Garrett, be one of my speakers for 5 minutes on the 16th?
No,
November.
No, I'm no. You don't know. All right, Charlie.
Where is it going to be, sir? If I may ask.
Yeah, where is it?
Bro, you know, I was this thing. We're looking for sponsors. I'm talking to Emperor's Palace and George's Hotel.
Okay.
But the program and
talk
everything
to me when you've got a the venue.
Okay, shut up.
A scapegoat. Oh, okay, let me know when. talk about.
And if I'm going to come, then Tats has got to come.
Yes. Kenny Kunene said he's coming and Choop Choop.
Oh, great. Yes. Those two. We need them.
Oh, my goodness. Whew. Okay, when you get a venue, let me know. Then I'll.
Sure.
I'll try to find what you don't have, and then you let me know about that as
Charlie
well.
Charlie Peterson, everybody.
Thank
and Tats, thanks for coming to hang out with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Gerald. It's been freaking awesome. Leanne.
So good to see you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming to join me too, Leanne. I mean, it's
thank you. Really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do it every Monday.
Yeah, thanks. It's good. This is all very nice. So thanks, everybody. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 in the morning. Lots of other good stuff on cliffcentral.com today through the course of the day. If I didn't get to your messages, I'm sorry. We'll get to those tomorrow. Loads of emails, and you know how to get hold of us if you want to. On Cliff Central, 0797-482090. You can also email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com. And if you want to be part of our research group that we've started a research core that we're going to grow from here on out, core@cliffcentral.com. That's core@cliffcentral.com. There's information there too, but we'd like to have a few of our super fans and the people who've been with us for the longer part of this journey to help us figure out what's next. And we cannot do that on our own, so we need you with us. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.